in this series on fearless, and this is the last message on fearless, and tonight I'm going to deal with the subject of self-control. You're going to want to take notes on this, because there's going to be a lot of cool stuff that I never knew. I believe that it'll bless you as much as it's blessed me, because there's two aspects of self-control. There's a worldly self-control, and then there's a biblical concept of self-control. And so you can see somebody who's super fit. They've got this self-control. They go to the gym religiously. They eat healthy, but mentally they're jacked up. They have anxiety. They have fear. They have insecurity. Then you can see the other side of that. Somebody that's not so fit, but their mind is healthy. Their heart is healthy. And so I began to ask the Lord, I said, so Father, what is this that you're trying to take me in this area of self-control? And this is actually a truth that I've never really noticed before until the last probably 3 or 4 weeks. So when Jesus ministered on the earth, he actually left us some commandments to follow. And some of them, I'll be honest with you, when I read them, some of those commandments almost seem impossible. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Have you ever read the Bible and the Lord gives you a verse and you go, there's just no way I can do that. I mean, and I believe this with all my heart, we probably can't do it without Jesus truly in our lives. But Christ didn't come to earth just to simply show us how to live. He came to earth to show us what life would be like if we actually did it with him. If we actually engaged in this life with him. So here's an interesting command, and I'll read this, and this will all make sense to you in a moment. And one of the ways that he empowers us to fill the promises that sometimes we don't think we can fill is our connection to the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. I really believe it's one of the most overlooked things, and I know we talk like we've got it, and we talk like we know it, but sometimes I don't really know if we know it, because we only do it in a small portion. It's not throughout the day. It's not with our finances. It's not with our investments. It's not with our kids. It's not with dealing with the situations in life. We don't use it in marriages. It's one of those things that we like to encounter him, but that's it. We kind of have him out there. You're out there, and that's it. And really, he's in here. So listen to this verse. This is one of those verses. This is Matthew 5, 44 to 48. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. How many of y'all know that's hard? Yes. Even as a pastor, you know, sometimes you just want to greet people and just, you know. Anybody ever feel like you got people like that in your life? Yes. I know the Lord has appointed people in my life just personally to give me patience. Anybody got kids? Yeah, right? So listen to this verse. So that you will become children of the Father in heaven, because he makes his sun rise on both evil and good people, and he lets rain fall on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you have? Even the tax collectors do the same, don't they? And if you greet only your relatives, that's no great thing you're doing, is it? He says, even the unbelievers do the same, don't they? But watch this last verse. This is verse 48. This is a big statement. But be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, is that possible? That's an impossible verse, isn't it? Anybody in here feel perfect? Let me see your hand if you feel perfect. Am I perfect? So this is kind of where this started for me. So the word perfect here literally means brought to its end, finished, mature, complete. And so here's what Jesus is saying. He literally, because it's him talking, he says, I really want to fully develop you. I want you to be fully developed. And the only way you can do that, I'm going to reveal it to you, the only way you can do that is by engaging in the truth of self-control or self-discipline. Let me just say this. We have grown ignorant if we think that our choices, our thoughts, and our words have no consequences. Let me say it again. We have grown ignorant spiritually if we think our thoughts, our choices, and our words have no consequences. That's just a simple reality. But if you don't understand this, because it was Jesus speaking from both the Greek mindset and the Hebrew mindset, that this portion of Scripture was actually translated in Greek and Aramaic, but when Jesus spoke it, he actually spoke it in a Hebrew language. And so when you're reading this verse about perfect, I want to show you this, it's really amazing. When you're reading this verse about perfect, Jesus is referred to it, he's referring to that word in the Hebraic sense. It's not a Greek sense. So listen to this. The Greek mindset of perfection is attained when there are no flaws. So for you to be perfect, you would have no flaws. That's the Greek concept of perfect. Turn to somebody and say, do you have no flaws? In the Hebrew, listen to this, in the Hebrew context, mindset, perfection occurs when things are working as designed. Let me say that again. When Jesus is talking about perfect here, he's talking about things in your life that are actually functioning by design. So just right now in your life, you do have some perfect things. There are some areas that you're actually functioning in by the kingdom and by the power of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit that you are actually designed in the kingdom to function according to. So I'll give you just kind of a little example. So the Greek mind, listen to this. In the Greek mind, the olive tree is flawed. It's flawed. It resembles a strange, twisting plant that falls short of being beautiful. It's not straight. So it's not symmetrical. And it's not even impressive in size to the Greek. Now watch this. To the Jewish concept of the tree, the olive tree, to them it's perfect. Why? Because it functions in its ability to produce olives. Did you catch that? Yeah, I want you to see the difference here. So the Hebrew mindset of perfection is not on what you look like on the outside. It's actually about what you're producing in your life, especially concerning what you were created to produce. What your identity is meant to look like. So when something functions as it's designed in the Hebrew, it's actually perfect. Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Why that statement? Listen to this. Jesus was actually encouraging us to function as we were designed. It was an invitation. He was saying, I want you to function as you were designed. But let me just say this. It's going to be almost impossible for you to begin to function as you were designed until you develop self-control, self-discipline. And it's not works. That's the problem with a lot of truth. Self-control is this huge thing in how we're supposed to live out who we are. And self-control is really easy to practice when you have the right mindset. I've read this scripture 100 times. 1 John 3:7 says, as he is in the world, so are we. That sounds like an impossible thing. But when you begin to allow self-control to be established in your life, all these statements, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus in Philippians 2:5, all these things that you think you cannot experience, begin to experience, but we seem to have left self-control out of the picture. We become more about, and I'm not preaching against gifts and super, I love all that and deliverance and all that stuff. But I believe so many believers, including myself sometimes, we have so many areas of our life that are out of control because we have not put a lot of weight on this truth. We have a measure of it. And I wonder what, if you were to measure what self-control looks like compared to out of control in your life, what that scale would tip like. Because let's be honest, we feel like our country's out of control. We feel like our leaders are out of control. We feel like our kids are out of control. We feel like our relationships are out of control. We feel like the church is out. I mean, really, if you sit back, you can be overwhelmed with no control. And I just find it funny that in 2 Timothy or 1 Timothy, when he's talking about where we started this whole series in, it says this in 2 Timothy 1 and 7. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound judgment, a personal and personal discipline. Listen to this. This is what it reads like in the Amplified. Abilities that result in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control. Now listen to what Solomon said in Proverbs 25, 28. This is the English Standard Version. A man without self-control, or a woman, is like a city broken into and left without walls. The word city here, listen, means a system. It means the system, what you were designed for, the perfection that you were called into to walk. Be perfect as your Father is perfect. It also means maker. When we lose self-control, our ability to allow the person that was given to us to make us and shape us, something happens in that format. And he says, broken into and left without walls. That word walls in the Hebrew means to join or protection. Here's what he's saying. Without self-control, instead of this happening, this happens. So people are out of control. How do you know? I talk to them. In the church. Men deal with lust, pornography. Women deal with bitterness, insecurity. We deal with anger. We deal with rejection. We deal with all these emotions. And here's the mistake. Listen to me now. Self-control does not mean just saying no to sin. That's what we've been duped into believing. That's what we've made self-control. Well, if I can just say no to sin, well, then I'm fine. Actually, self-control positions you to say yes to God and to every time he speaks to you about your purpose and the identity that he has for your life. One of the easiest ways to remove self-control in your life is to partner with the lies of the enemy that attack your identity and your mindset. Because you're going to need those to fulfill purpose. And anytime we come into agreement with these lies of the enemy concerning ourselves, concerning God, and concerning others, we lose the ability to discern. I mean, I really got challenged typing this message out. This really challenged my heart. So what we do is we develop substitute fruit. We put our approval on them. And those substitute fruit are actually the opposite of being as Jesus was in the world. So we reap this harvest that is unhealthy. And it keeps us from freedom. It makes us remain in fear. Fear of rejection, fear of loss, fear of failure, fear of separation. I really believe everything that's happening is amazing because I believe it's going to be a great challenge to the church. Here's the interesting thing about self-control, the one that the Bible talks about. Listen to this now. It's interesting that self-control in the kingdom of God has this connection to the fruit of the Spirit. It is actually one of the fruit of the Spirit's. That's what self-control is. That means this. Listen to this. It means that true self-control can only be found living under the influence of the Holy Spirit. True self-control can only be discovered when we choose to live under the influence of the Holy Spirit. How many of you have tried to diet by yourself, right, without a support team? How'd it work out? How many of you need a buddy to go work out with you? Because you know if you're left to yourself, you just ain't gonna do it. Right? I'd be in shape if all my friends would get in shape. I'd be rocking. Listen to this. The fruit of the Spirit is so connected to self-control. Listen to this. I want you to catch this now. That this is actually a revelation and a perfect example of living and moving in the opposite spirit in life to be an overcomer. You've probably heard me say many times the key to overcoming and having victory many times over spiritual entities and things out there is when you actually begin to move in the opposite spirit. What does that mean, Pastor? It means that you embrace with self-control, you embrace how you're going to respond, and you choose to respond in a fruit of the Spirit. So when Timothy's writing about self-control here, he's actually writing about this fruit of the Spirit. But listen, you try to live eating from a different spirit, eat different fruit, live with different fruit, process things with different fruit, you'll be disappointed. Galatians 5, 22, 23, the Living Bible says, but when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, let me say it one more time. When the Holy Spirit what? Listen, the level you allow the Holy Spirit to control your life is the level you'll live with self-control. When the Holy Spirit controls our lives, listen to this, he will produce this kind of fruit in us, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and watch this little word right here. This little word says, and self-control. That word and there is a conjunction. It is actually the glue. Self-control is the junction. It's the word that, in that whole verse, it's the glue that brings the power of all the fruit of the Spirit that's listed forth in your life. So here's what he's saying. Self-control in 2 Timothy, he's saying, is power, love, and self-control helps you overcome all your fears. So you got this piece of bread over here that's power. You got this piece of bread over here that is self-control. And right in the middle is the peanut butter called love that holds everything together. These are the three ingredients. And here's what he's saying. When you actually get self-control, you'll begin to function under the unction and the power of the fruit of the Spirit in such a way that the fruit of the Spirit actually becomes a weapon. Remember the verse in the Bible says that, you know, about your enemies that he'll put hot coals on their heads? We go, yes. Because we think that's a vengeance verse, but it's actually not. It's us operating in a spirit that is so powerful and so healthy that it brings conviction to them and it brings them to a place of repentance. And so I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I just thought always self-control was just me setting time to read my Bible in the day and fasting and you know, going to church and praying every now and then and doing all this. Yeah, he said, that's great, Jamie. He said, but what do you do in the midst of the battle? What do you do when fear shows up? What do you do when bitterness shows up? What do you do when hatefulness shows up? Listen, since Genesis chapter 3 with Adam and Eve, it's always been a fruit issue. Always. Do you know what fruit means in the Hebrew? Ready? It means choice. You know what self-control is in a nutshell? It's the ability to choose correctly. Why, Pastor? Because you were created. The key element of your creation was free will. But here's the thing about self-control. the more you yield to truth, the more you choose the right, the more you choose what Jesus would say and do and think and function like, all of a sudden self-control begins to grow. I look around the room and I just see so many people that have just mastered self-control. It's not a joke. I thought that was a good line for you. I thought it would be encouraging. Fruit in the Bible means knowledge, truth, or lies. So there's fruit that you can get a hold of that are full of lies and deception. And there's fruit that you can get a hold of that are full of knowledge and truth. And Jesus said in John 15, 16 that you're supposed to be a fruit bearer. He's called you to bear fruit. What does that look like? That same word fruit in the Aramaic means choice in the New Testament. That's the root word for fruit. Spiritual law. It's a spiritual law that functions. Now, I want you to listen to this verse in the ESV, the English Standard Version. It's one of my favorite. It's my daily devotional Bible. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Watch this last line. Against such things there are no law. Now listen to this. I want you to catch this. This law term here is something that's a scientific, nailed-down fact. And nothing can change it. Now watch this. I first read this, I always thought he was referring to the Old Testament. He's actually referring to the context of that nothing works against the fruit of the Spirit. It is law. It is spiritual law. How many of y'all know if you drive 100 miles in a 50-mile-an-hour zone, there's nothing in court that's going to keep you from experiencing what you're going to experience? Why? Because it's law. He's saying there's no law. There's nothing that can stand against self-control and the fruit of the Spirit. Even if you don't feel it sometimes, even if you're treated one way and it requires patience or gentleness or kindness or mercy or goodness, the Bible actually says we overcome evil with good. But we've not entered into this level of warfare yet. How does that happen, Pastor? It happens with obedience. And it starts with who the Spirit controls. Self-control actually begins with me letting go of control. Right? It's hard to let go of control, isn't it? Anybody ever know a control freak? Don't look at your spouse. Just say yes, amen. Listen to how powerful this. When we practice the fruit of the Spirit, anything opposite of that fruit cannot have any power against us unless we give it to them. How do I give it to them? Noah does something to me. And instead of me operating in the fruit of the Spirit, I operate in an opposite fruit. I absolutely turn my control over. You know if you allow fear, and fear will control you, right? Right? Anxiety, anger, unforgiveness, bitterness, doubt. You allow doubt, and what does it do? It affects your faith, affects your belief system. Why? At that moment, you're tasting an incorrect fruit. It's a fruit, but it's just not the fruit of the Spirit. I used to say this all the time when I first got saved. And it's you know, you say a lot of things dumb when you first get saved, but it had a little bit of truth to it. And some of that truth was that I got way more grace from my friends in the world than I ever got in church. My friends in the world were nicer to me than my friends in the church. See, what he's talking about here is the very nature of God. The very nature of God is like the law of gravity. These spiritual laws that he's talking about right here, these spiritual truths of fruit, these things that nothing works against, are actually a description of the nature of God. And God never asks us to do anything that he himself does not live and function in. He commands us to have faith. He walked by faith. He commanded us to pray. He was a prayer man. He was supernatural. Everything Jesus asks us to do or challenges us with, he himself has lived. So the nature of God that is within you right now is meant to set you free from everything that the enemy would throw at you. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, do not give place to the enemy. That word place is position, license, room, opportunity. Read it, Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. Now, let me tell you this. When we tap in and operate in self-control and choose the nature of God, the fruit of the Spirit of God, what happens at that moment is we shut the door to that place that the enemy is going after in that moment. So when you're about to be ignorant to the waitress at the restaurant, you shut that door. Preaching now to bring up food. I can't stand going to a restaurant with somebody and them being ignorant to the waitress or waiter. It drives me absolutely crazy. They open up the door in their heart for pride, and then they open up the door in that somebody else's heart for the rejection. That is so opposite of the nature of God. And all we have to do is choose this self-control element. So the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, is an encounter with God that's meant to lead us in this ongoing experience. And it actually opens up the fullness of who God is meant to be for us. You know one thing I love about self-control and the fruit of the Spirit? Self-control creates a greater awareness of his presence. Let me explain that to you. Anytime I choose correctly, when it comes to warfare, I feel his presence. Now, when I choose incorrectly, it doesn't mean he's not present. But there's a part of me that disengages. Did you ever blow it? How do you feel after that? It's not a good feeling. It's not condemnation, but it's like, ah. He doesn't stop loving you. He doesn't love you less. He's just calling you into this encounter of this exchange. You get to live in your nature, in your flesh, or you get to walk according to the Spirit. You and I are commanded to walk according to the Spirit, not by the flesh. The warfare we're in, the Bible says, is not flesh and blood. I don't have a problem with the world. I don't hate the world. I don't hate people. People are not the issue. It's the Spirit they allow to flow through their life that becomes the issue. But even in that, we have to make sure that the self-control choice that we make at that moment opens or closes the door to what warfare looks like for me. Love covers a multitude of sin. Is that in them or us? These are just incredible actual weapons of warfare. What are they dealing with? They're dealing with spirit. What is fear? A spirit of what? Fear. God has not given us a spirit of what? The only way you can deal with a spirit is with another spirit. Well, that's the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit. It's his fruit. So God offers us the fruit of the Spirit, which is actually his unchanging nature and character that overcomes the opposite of that. Whatever that spirit is, it overcomes the opposite spirit. Listen, when the enemy attacks you, he always attacks you with a spirit. Spirit of lust, spirit of anger, spirit of bitterness. Every spiritual attack that you face begins with a demonic spirit that comes at you at that moment. You have to exercise self-control. Yes, I could punch you in the face right now, but I'm not going to, because I love Jesus and Jesus loves you. And I'm going to be kind and I'm going to be good and I'm going to be patient. Most of my warfare happens when I drive. Or I'm in line getting groceries and they've only got one lane up with 300 people waiting to check out. See, the nature of God, when we give our lives to it and we allow it to become the controlling factor of our life, the nature of God not only sets us free, but it's meant to set others free. When I begin to live like Jesus lived, it does something. It creates this confidence in me. When I begin to see the manifestation of the lives around me of what the fruit of the Spirit does, when I yield my life to its control, all of a sudden what happens is I get this incredible confidence. In other words, I have this relationship I'm developing of trust and intimacy. It's a relationship of support. It creates this certainty of faith in me. It does, because I start allowing the nature of who Christ is to flow out of me. What does that do? It creates in me a belief that one will act right and proper and in an effective way towards me. Listen to this. You realize that Jesus and the Father treat you through the fruit of the Spirit. You should be glad. I don't fully understand all what's going on in the Old Testament when it says God got angry with them and God got upset and he caused this army to come in and caused this army to come in. All I can say is this: I am so glad my New Testament Jesus is not that way at all. That what he exercises against me is this fruit. And he said it's imperative that I go away. Why? Because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit, who's meant to dwell in you and endue you with power, same as 2 Timothy 7, power, love, he'll endue you with power. That power is the ability to be able to have my nature literally living with inside you. But you have to choose to operate in it and walk in it. I've heard lots of 3 plans and 4 plans on what it takes to develop self-control. Galatians 5, 22, 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and what keeps it all together, the glue that makes it work within you, is the choice you make in self-control. And here's the cool, when you start making the choice, the Holy Spirit begins to develop self-control. You begin to walk and you begin to grow, you begin to manifest self-control. I'm doing this study, and the Lord said to me, what does that look like for you, Jamie? What does self-control look like for you right now? Be honest. What areas of your life are totally out of control? For most of us, it's secret areas. Right? What did Adam and Eve do when they ate the apple? They hid. Why? They lost control. Their loss of control brought chaos into their lives. We disguise ourselves on the outside because we have this mentality that control, self-control and being perfect looks like what you see out here. But the Jew and the Hebrew knew that what really took place with self-control and perfection and walking in your nature and your identity in Christ really matters what's going on in here. Taking your thoughts captive. That's a tool that you manage, that you grow, that you develop with self-control. You choose not to think that way. You choose to think from the nature of God. I choose to see John a certain way. John chooses, no matter what, to see me a certain way. John can make mistakes. I can make mistakes. But I choose to see him in light of the nature and the character of Jesus himself. That's a good thing, ain't John? This is this scripture in Ephesians 5, 9 to 10. It says, for this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Now watch this, because it's not going to be up there, but I'm going to read it. Is it up there? No. Anyway, it's the New Living Translation. It's Ephesians 5, 9 and 10. Listen to this. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Let me say it again. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. How do I do that? I operate in the fruit of the Spirit. So I do something to Bert. I do something breaks Bert's heart, you know, just devastates him. Right? So Bert knows what's happened, but he has a choice to make. Okay, what am I going to do? What am I going to do with Jamie's done to me? He said, I'm going to choose to love him. All of a sudden, Bert sees me. He's loving on me. He's hugging me. And it's like, oh, my gosh. And I hurt this guy. Blah, blah, blah. Here's what's happening. He is revealing a spirit that's at work, not in him. Through him choosing the fruit of the Spirit, that spirit is revealing what's going on inside of me. It exposes, listen to this, is it actually exposes the spirit that I'm working in. But watch this. If Bert chooses to operate in the same spirit that I'm operating with him, we both become deceived. We both become confused, and we both can step into an area of no discernment with what's going on, because now we've put an approval on what's wrong, what's bad, what's evil, and what's wicked. It's better preaching than you're a man, I just want to tell you right now. So self-control is a control over the expressions of one's emotions and thoughts. It's restraint exercised over one's own impulses, emotions, or desires. Simply put, self-control is a choice. It has to do with your will. Now listen, in your life, it's going to be your will or it's going to be the Holy Spirit. That's the two choices you have. Amen. That's where you live from. And our negativity can cause us to see God as some kind of enemy. You know, that kid that has that magnifying glass and you're the ant. I've never done that, but I've had friends when they were kids like torturing ants, burning legs off and burning, you know, all their, you know, just got the biggest kick out of it. We can develop this concept. But here's my question. What if all circumstances are an opportunity for you to walk in God's nature? Let me say it again. What if every circumstance in your life is an opportunity to walk in God's nature? And here's another thing. What if God has assigned the fruit of the Spirit for every negative thing in your life? That's a thought, isn't it? I know what you're thinking. I got this going. I don't know if there's a fruit for that. I got this out of control thing. I wonder what the fruit for that is. Practicing the fruit of the Spirit develops self-control in your inner nature. And it grows through the use or choice to move in them. By moving in the fruit of the Spirit, you can seriously affect the enemy and release yourself into power at the same time. That's what hit me the hardest. Lord said, Jamie, if you'll start to choose this, you'll only slap the enemy, you'll release yourself into power. You'll feel power. So you can exhaust the enemy. Listen to this. You can exhaust the enemy with your love for people. I think we've come to a place where we like to accept the negative. Let me say that again so it sinks in. I think we've convinced ourselves it's okay for us to accept the negative. Do you know you can depress the enemy by your joy? You can weary him by your peace. You can demoralize him with your patience. You can discourage him with your kindness, overcome him with your goodness, debilitate him with your acts of faithfulness, trouble him with your gentleness, dismay him with self-control, dishearten him with your faith. Just a couple of things. Weaken him with your mercy, intimidate him with your intimacy, devastate him with your grace, paralyze him with your compassion, cripple him with your humility. I don't know, it sounds like a warfare tool to me, doesn't it? This is just a small list. The nature and character of God is one of the greatest warfare tools that we have. It's operating in the opposite fruit. The opposite spirit. It's to embrace truth and actually become obedient. And here's what he says in that scripture. There's no law in the universe against it. Yeah, but I did that to one person one time and they weren't very nice. It doesn't matter. When you operate, you're empowering yourself. You've got to leave it. You've got to maintain it. You've got to self-control it. You can't release it and the next day go back and operate in a different fruit. You got to eat the fruit. You got to taste it. What's your favorite fruit? It says a lot about you. If it's bananas, it says a lot about you. Apples, lemons, peaches, pears. You can't beat bananas and peanut butter. Let's be real for a moment. Listen to this thought. This is the Lord spoke this to me, and it may be for you. I don't know, but it was for me. You have to stop surrendering your identity to negative emotions and actions. Let me say it again. You have to stop surrendering your identity to negative motives, emotions, and actions. Anytime you chose the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit, you're actually surrendering your identity and your nature of who you're called to be. You know, I'll be honest with you. When I was in the world, and I don't know, I know there's other people here that are in the world when I was in. You know, when I was doing drugs and partying, we didn't sit around and gossip. I didn't learn how to gossip good till I got to church. That's the truth. Me and my buddies didn't sit around, you know, getting stoned and drinking beer and going, hey, did you hear about Tom? We could care less about that stuff. See, the cool thing about the fruit of the Spirit, it's actually a sowing and reaping truth. How do you know that, Pastor? Because fruit has seeds. The Bible says that Jesus gives seeds to the sower. What seeds are we sowing? Whatever seeds we're sowing is going to produce a fruit in our lives. So he's talking about fruit and he's talking about seed. He talks about harvest time. We live, let me tell you this, in the kingdom of God, you and I live from a seed sowing principle. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he. And if we would learn to start stepping into the fruit of the Spirit, once again, we're in the world, we're not of it, but I don't hate the world. I live from a different kingdom with a different king who has a different nature and he has a different response to the issues of life. And when I start living according to the fruit of the Spirit and I start functioning that way with those issues, all of a sudden I empower myself. Here's what happened. The people that I'm in relationship with, the situations that I'm dealing with, what happens is when I move correctly in self-control and choose that fruit of the Spirit, there is an overflow that they get to experience. I'm not called to judge people. I'm not even called to judge my situations. I'm called to trust Jesus in everything that goes on. And when I start living according to this fruit of the Spirit, what happens is all of a sudden I'm no longer conformed to the world. What does Romans tell us? Be not conformed to the world. That means don't let the world shape you. Don't be similar to the world. Don't agree with the world, and don't be obedient to the world. That's what the word conform means. But be transformed. And the renewing of your mind. How does that happen? Self-control. Choosing the right thing. Respond differently. Act differently. It's not works. If you blow it, Jesus doesn't love you less. It's called maturity. It's called growing. It's called experience. But if we don't start somewheres, the world is not going to catch the overflow of his nature. We're it. Jesus is not coming back to be crucified again. We're it, folks. We have the nature of God in our very being. We have all these tools and all these weapons to choose from, but if we don't start exercising self-control, see, the fruit of the Spirit for us is an overcoming lifestyle. And the foundation, the peanut butter, is love. You can tell I love peanut butter. I talk a lot about it. To live in the fruit of the Spirit's an overcoming lifestyle for us. But it's built, self-control and power are built on that middle structure in 2 Timothy called love. And they're healthy disciplines we put in place. They're boundaries we put in place. I'm not going to gossip. I'm not going to receive something about John, something about Brother Hiddle, something about Bo. I choose not to receive it. If somebody has a problem with Brother Hiddle, the Bible says, you've been offended, go to him. We've got to start acting like we believe what the Bible actually says we're to function in. Amen. I'll amen myself on that one. The Lord said there's a season coming where you're going to have to walk differently. And I'm really going to need you to embrace your new creation, not your old image. Who you are in the new. Now I'm going to close, and I want to close with this verse, but I want you to see the power of this verse. This is 2 Peter 1 and 5, and I got a couple more thoughts, and we're going to pray, but I want you to catch this. This is the Voice Bible. I don't know if you've ever read the Voice Bible. It's a great Bible. It's really cool. It's like the Moffat Bible. It's really cool. You never hear a lot about these Bibles. They're really powerful. But listen to the Voice Bible. God took the first step to rescue us from this corrupt world. He granted us his power, revealed to us true knowledge, and spoken to us great promises. He has done all this for a reason. Now watch this next line. What does it say? That we might what? In his own what? And reflect his own what? Is that not one of the most powerful verses you've ever heard? But we are not passive observers of God's saving actions. We must receive his grace, grow in knowledge, listen to this, and join him in the work of redemption. That's the act of helping people embrace that God paid the price for their freedom. And it happens when we flow out of the nature of God. The English Standard Version Bible says it this way: for this very reason, you must make every effort to supplement your faith with moral character. Moral character means right behavior. Your moral character with knowledge, and your knowledge with self-control, your self-control with endurance, and your endurance with godliness. Endurance here is literally permanence. It's that word permanence. It's the quality or state, listen to this, of Acts chapter 17 says, where in him we live, we move, and we have our being. Permanence means you being as he was in the world. Listen, when I started studying this, it was just like the Holy Spirit going, look at this, look at this, look at this. I said, okay, slow down. Calm down. I've only got a short window here. You understand that knowledge and experience go hand in hand, right? You understand God doesn't give you stuff so you could have it in your head. He gives you stuff so it can be in your heart. And you're supposed to embrace in it and participate. And you're actually designed, and I was kind of brought up old school. This was never taught. This was actually looked down on to some degree when I was brought up in kind of a legalistic church. You're actually designed to experience God in your emotions, your thoughts, and your encounters. God actually wants you to feel stuff. It would be terrible if you couldn't feel joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. What's that feel like? I've never felt that. I leave my peace I give to you. What's that feel like? Be terrible to be in a covenant and say you're in love and not feel love. Why? Why does God want you to experience him in your emotions? Because he wants to pull you in to the nature of how he is, how he sees you, how he wants you to see him so you can live out of that nature. I said, Lord, this is a message about self-control. He said, this is a message about the fruit of the Spirit, which is the glue. It's the defining word in the text. So self-control is love, goodness, kindness. Yeah, it's self-control in love, goodness, patience, kindness, mercy, gentleness. We have got to stop taking our cues for living from the world and unhealthy fruit. They do not bring anything, any maturity in you from Jesus. Maturity comes from you developing, operating in an opposite spirit. I've got a lot of stuff I know in my head. But this word control, self-control, temperance, if you read the Old King James and Galatians 2 and 3, it's called temperance. It means self-control, but it also means to be strong in a thing or to be masterful or that's your appetite. Self-control is that's what becomes your appetite. It means to separate from something unto another. Come out from the world and be ye from something unto something else. This is such a deep, simplistic truth. So I just said, what do you want me to do, Holy Spirit? Like, it's been a rough year. Anybody been there? Right? Here's what he said to me, simply said, I just want you to make better choices, son. He said, start making better choices. When you start making better choices, you'll become more and more aware of my presence in you. You'll start wanting to choose the opposite spirit. If you don't choose the opposite spirit, listen to me, you will open your life up to the principle of opposition. What does that mean? The principle of opposition in the Bible is literally for us, we live with something that constantly opposes us. Anything you don't deal with that's contrary to the nature of God within you, listen to me, it becomes opposition. You get bored with God. You get bored with worship. You get bored. You read the Bible only because you have to. You're bored with church. Everything, it didn't matter if you went to a church where there was 20,000 people and the praise band was jumping through hoops of fire, you would still be bored out of your mind. Because you live with a mindset of opposition because you're not living in the nature of joy, peace. I just get angry at people. No, you choose to be angry at people. You can be angry. Just be angry and do not sin. It's a healthy emotion. This is warfare 101. This is opposite spirit revelation. When you operate in the correct spirit or the opposite spirit of what's happening, you do damage to the opposition. You hinder them. You bring them into a place of where self-control empowers you now to overcome your negative emotions, your negative thoughts. You begin to step into freedom. Begin to walk that out. Sometimes I wonder if we even recognize the spirit we walk in, the spirit we talk in, the spirit we think in. So, what's your self-control look like? My next question is, how out of control are you? I got the same questions, just mine was from the Holy Spirit. I'm just passing on the question. How out of control are you, Jamie? What are you agreeing with that you shouldn't be agreeing with? How much negativity are you opening your life up to that you shouldn't be? It's just, to me as not just, I'm not talking about a pastor, I'm talking about a Christian. For me, it really starting to affect me that we don't have problem cursing one another, but we have a serious problem blessing one another. And yet we think in our curse, we're going to be blessed. You know what that's called? That's called an opposite spirit that robs you of biblical discernment. That you actually convinced yourself you're going to experience a level of truth operating in an incorrect spirit with that truth. Can I get one amen out of you before we leave tonight? So I know you're awake. I don't know if you're playing a trick on me or what. You're freaking me out a little bit. You're staring at me like, what? Look like that deer I shot last night. No, I'm just joking. I didn't shoot a deer last night. It was the night before. But anyway, it was at Lisa's farm. No, I'm just joking, Lisa. It may have been one of your horses. I'm sorry. But it wasn't really. I'm just But I want you to hear this. Listen to this. Listen to this, everybody. You get to choose how you show up in the battle. You can never blame the enemy. You can't blame, well, they just wouldn't stop. I'm just sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm not going to talk to you about Bert. You go to Bert. Yeah, but I don't want to hear it. If you're not going to do it biblically and you're not going to do it in the right spirit, I don't want to hear it. I'm not opening that door. I'm not giving place. I'm not giving room. I'm not giving you a license to think that you can puke into my spirit. That's a bold term, but it's pretty powerful. I have mistakes. Chuck has mistakes. Chad has mistakes. Kim's got lots of mistakes. We've all got mistakes. Right? So the thing about it is you've got to choose what you're going to do with this. This is what I've learned about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit actually changes the atmosphere. When I start living in self-control and choosing the fruit of the Spirit, it changes the atmosphere over my life. Now, here's what I've noticed. I want you to catch this, okay? When I start turning that towards people and their circumstances, now when people come into my atmosphere, watch this. I love this. This is the last truth. Watch this. If Joe's coming to me with a negative, and he hasn't, but if he did, and Joe can come to me if he has a problem. He knows that. If he has a problem, he can come to me. But if he came to me with something about Chuck, and all of a sudden I say, hey, Joe, I really love you, but you really need to talk to Chuck. You really need to go to Chuck. Now watch this. I'm operating in a spirit that from now on when Joe comes into my atmosphere, he modifies his behavior. He modifies the spirit that he's bringing into my atmosphere because I'm exercising self-control and I'm building this thing around me that if you come to me about negative about her, that says to you, you don't have the right spirit to operate in this atmosphere. If we are going to be called to really be the bride, we better start living and acting out truth because when you don't act out truth, you must not believe it. Right? Do you shower? Thank God. Because you believe if you don't, nobody will want to be your friend. My truth? Right, Levi's going, that's the truth. Yeah, she don't shower, I ain't hanging out with her. So go ahead and stand. Are you okay? Are the rest of you okay? Okay, good. That's important to me. I want the prayer team to come. I'm going to do something. Do we have a prayer team tonight? That's always good. Just stand up here with me. We're going to do something tonight. I really want to pray for people tonight. I want to pray. Let me just say this. This is where it gets real. It's where the rubber meets the road. Okay? I want you to think about the areas in your life that are out of control. Now listen to this. Sometimes we can receive the lie that it's been so out of control for so long that it's impossible for us to get control back. That's the worst thing about placing yourself in an atmosphere. And it's been really hard for me to be intentional this week to everything that I encounter, to ask the Holy Spirit, what's the fruit for me to deal with this? What's the nature? What part of self-control, what fruit are you trying to create in me right now to choose in this moment? Here's what the Holy Spirit said to me. I'm actually showing you who Jesus is, and you're actually choosing him. He gets bigger within you. Some of us have secret places that are just out of control. We live one way out here, but back here, we're just totally different people. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be talking with you about her and then being around her and acting like I'm just goody two-shoes. I want to be real. I want to be a real believer. I'm not going through this season that the church is going in, that the world is going in, with any phoniness. I'm going in with the real deal. Communicating in truth and communicating within love and mercy and grace and kindness and goodness. Sometimes we have to go through things to awaken what's right within us. The transformation happens when I say, I choose to be this way, not this way. I'm just going to be real before you. With men, let me tell you this. The church has gotten so out of control with having people that you can trust. Men will walk with lust and pornography for years and years and years and years and years and never deal with it. Why? Because they don't feel like they have anybody they can trust. And so that lie that, oh, I can't deal with this. There's no possible way for me to get freedom from this. The rubber of the real bride is getting ready to land down on the concrete in this time we're living in. I'm not a negative guy. I don't feel like the church is, we're doomed. I think that this is going to be the church's glorious moment. I believe we're going to see the supernatural like we've never saw it before. I believe we're going to see manifestations and healings and deliverances like we've never saw. But it's going to begin with self-control as we begin to choose the right thing. I refuse to let myself be held captive anymore by the things that have had control over my life. Pride, insecurity, fears. I'm not living that place anymore. I've served notice on the enemy. I'm going to be a life speaker, not a death speaker. And if we're going to be the church God's called us to be, this is the choice we have to make. where people come into an atmosphere where they feel like, oh my goodness, there's freedom here. Bow your heads for a moment. Holy Spirit, I just pray tonight that we can be real. And I'm going to ask, if we've got some other altar workers here, can you come up and help us tonight, if you don't mind? Just so that everybody's not, people are not standing and waiting. Groups of two, if you got them. Anybody else? I don't think there's been a message that the Lord's given me for a long time that I've had to repent so much about. But I just had to be real. Just be real in how I feel about people, how I feel about what's done to me, how I, stuff you think you've forgiven of and you've let go of, but really you know you haven't. And it has some level of a controlling factor in your life. It alters your personality. It affects your atmosphere. So Holy Spirit, sweep across this room. Tonight the Holy Spirit wants to deal with your issues that are out of control. Wants to bring you back into a control format of healthy self-control with the nature of Jesus Christ. And if you've got some stuff, I just want you to get out of your chair right now and just come down here. Don't wait. That this is not one of those truths that just a kind little truth. It's just like a, oh, you get to choose it or you don't choose it. This is actually a life-transforming truth. You've got to choose it. You've got some stuff going on, and if you've lost control, it's okay. It doesn't change His love for you. This is your night for freedom. It's your invitation for freedom.